Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone got a full house today.
Hey, man, this is going to be a fantastic show today. First up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us president and founder with Five Strands Affordable Testing. Please join me in welcoming to the show Miss Lisa Blahrock. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Lisa, before we get too far into things, tell us a little bit about what you're up to. How are you serving folks?
Well, we have got a couple different things that we have going here. The first one that we are going to talk about is basically called a blue-green algae test. I don't know if you guys heard back in the summer that there were dogs that passed away at Lake Allatoona with by being affected with blue-green algae relatively quickly. And I was building a house at Lake Kiwi about the same time, and my heart stopped. I'm building my dream house. I have three dogs. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they won't be able to get in the water. This is like freaking me out. So the first thing I did is start looking for a product that would be able to test the water. And lo and behold, there's nothing. First thing
test
I did.
Test the lake water?
Test the lake water to be able to see if it's safe for the pets. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing there. There's nothing out there for that. In order to test traditionally, you have to send it off to a lab and it takes about 10 days to get the results. But what good is that? So we researched and I found a company in Finland that actually had a product that could test the water within 10 minutes. And I was so excited. I reached out to them and they did not have any representation in the U.S. at all. So we convinced them to let us bring the test over here and we were able to get it online and make it available for pet parents. And it also works for humans too, but primarily pet parents.
And then it's for you to test the lake.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm. Now, whoever runs the lake, shouldn't they test it?
They should, but the lakes are so big that there's different areas. There's a lot of stagnant water in different places. And in order for them to test it traditionally, it's really sending it off to a lab. Cities and counties and parks that test the water really have a slow turnaround time for that. And if you're out there and you know, your dog jumps in the water and goes after a stick, you need to know if there's something toxic in the water. And because it can result in the fatal death of your pet. So having an instant test to be able to know and make educated decisions quickly is very important.
But you're testing it like right in your backyard?
Yeah, right there on the side of the water.
But then if you go on a boat and you're out,
you can do that too.
So now you test again?
Mm-hmm. You can. Yes. Yep. It's a portable kit. Takes 10 minutes.
And then is it reusable or you got to buy a new test?
You have a new test kit. Yeah. They come in like packets of 1, 2, and 3.
And then what do you recommend people? How often should they be testing?
I test it every time my dogs get ready to go in the water at our lake house.
So like every day?
Pretty much. Most of the time you're going to see blue-green algae has a tint to it, almost like a paint color, and it usually is in stagnant water. And it's also usually in the summer where it's warmer, where basically you've got that, you know, really heavy air and all the humidity. And it's basically because of a lot of nutrients and everything goes into the water. And if it's stagnant, it's pretty much called the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. And then, so have you gone to market with this?
Yes. So, we sell it on Amazon.
So how's it going?
It's going pretty good. It is seasonal, so that's a little different. Our main business is we do food intolerance testing with a hair sample. And we're able to find food intolerances on pets and humans with just a simple hair sample. So we've been doing that for the last couple years.
So that's kind of the day job, and this is kind of a new product?
A new product in our line, because we're all about the pet health and human health and basically making better lives. And so that kind of fits in our realm.
Now, who'd you bring with you today?
We've got Austin Collins and Ethan Steed. They're both founders. We started this crazy business on a construction table at my husband's office. We started this intolerance business, and we're in our second year, and we are just did $1.2 million.
And then this is the testing part.
Yes, the food intolerances and environmental issues with a hair sample.
And then, so who do you want to start with?
Well, go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I'm Ethan. I handle all the logistics and like supply chain operations side of things. But what we do is we use a hair analysis kit to test to look for the food intolerances. So stuff that's going to cause you digestive issues, dry skin, acne, joint and ligament issues, stuff like that. Like, I mean, I don't know if you can see my face, but it's a little red because when I eat cheese, it dries my face out and dries my head out. So I just, it's one of those intolerances that I can point out that I know that I have.
So now how does the test work? So a customer just mails you hair?
Yeah. So they order the kit on Amazon or from our website. And then, so they'll receive a kit. It'll have information card for them to fill out, hair collection kit or sample bag. So you put the hair inside the the bag and then send it back to us. And then what we'll do is we'll test it once it receives at our facility.
And then what does a report look like?
So it depends on the person. So it'll break it down in levels 3, 2, and 1. So red, yellow, green. Red means it's the most severe. These are causing the most issues within your body. Yellow means you need to kind of slow down. They're causing issues, but not as severe. And then green is more of the outliers, the level ones. So those are kind of things that might be causing you issues if you lean on just those food ingredients.
Do some people come up like, yeah, you're not allergic to anything, or you don't?
There's always results. Sometimes they may not cause as serious of issues, but everybody does typically have some type of intolerance to something. It just depends on if it's like a severe as like my face drying out, or if it's kind of like more subtle things like just joint pain and everything like that.
Could it tell like if you're have a gluten intolerance?
Yeah, so we have all 8 ingredients within the gluten family listed on our stuff or on our results. So whenever it'll break it down individually, so it could be that you're not just gluten free, but you're intolerant to 1 or 2 of the ingredients within gluten. So it kind of opens your horizon, so you don't have to just eliminate gluten. You can eliminate just the 2 ingredients within it.
And then what was the impetus to get in this business?
That was kind of Lisa that founded it, just because she had such issues with her own self. I mean, I can let her explain it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Why. Lisa, go ahead.
Well, basically, I had a lot of health issues and spent a lot of money trying to get answers, and no one could give me answers. Then one wise doctor finally said to me, you might want to check your food intolerances. I'm like, I have no clue what that means. And so I found out I was gluten-free and dairy-free. It changed my life. And then I had 2 kids in college.
So you were gluten, that you had a gluten intolerance?
Yes, gluten intolerance.
So that means you shouldn't have any gluten.
No, I walked away from it completely. Went cold turkey, very hard. I miss pizza a lot. And I had 2 college kids in college at the same time. One is a college athlete. And they both were having issues with their stomach, and God bless them, they had my genes. And, you know, they were both having a lot of issues, and it was so expensive to get tested. I was like, I love y'all, but I got 2 in college. I don't love you that much. So we're just going to have to suffer. So then I started looking for a cheaper, a more affordable way to get testing done. And I found this hair analysis, and I started buying it and giving it to family and friends, aka Austin, Ethan, and they started getting the test done. And it was crazy how accurate they were and how much it changed lives. Mm-hmm. And then I got busy with my life and didn't really think much of it. Well, Austin and Ethan got out of college and came and basically says, you're an idiot if you don't do something with this. This is nuts. And so they basically kicked me in the butt and said, you've got to do a business with this. I'm looking at retirement. I'm not looking to start a whole new business. I was like, I don't know. And so we went to a gluten-free show and here in Marietta. And we were embraced, and people were hugging us and thanking us, and it was kind of embarrassing. We were there like homemade signs and things like that, but we needed to know if there was a market.
Right.
And people went crazy over it and begged us and pleaded us. So they basically said, let's do something with this. And we're like, okay, let's give it a shot. We put it on Amazon, and we were on the first page of Amazon pretty quickly and kind of started from there.
And then your relationship are just – you just knew each other?
Well, they were friends with my kids. They were the same ages as my kids.
So your kid's not in the room. What happened to that?
She still works for the business. And the other one's a professional golfer. So anyway, but yeah, so they basically, I've known them their entire lives. And they had enough guts to say to me, you're an idiot if you don't do something. They really kicked me in the butt and saw the potential of this business. And that's why they're owners, because they really, really, I would have regretted this. Like, it would have been the biggest regret of my life for not, at my age, taking a chance.
And then, so now the product is, you're not doing the testing, right? Someone else is doing
it. No, we do the testing.
Oh, so you have a lab.
We have an in-house lab, yes.
So you have a lab.
Yeah.
In your facility.
Yes.
That takes the samples.
Yes.
Tests that, and then does the report.
Correct.
Now, what was it like to get a lab kind of blessed by who the powers would be?
Well, that took a little bit of work. We had brought the testing over from Europe, so we had to do it slowly. So we actually outsourced it for a while. And then with the shipping and all the costs, we decided it was much more efficient to bring it in. So, and we actually do testing for people from all over the world. We are pretty much have gotten tests from like, name it, we've gotten a test from that country.
And that's, but Amazon is the primary driver of your clients?
Yeah, that and our website. But yes, we do a lot. We did, I think we're at the $1 million club in Amazon now, so.
And then when, had you ever sold anything on Amazon before?
Never. Never. No. Never. We had no idea how to sell anything on Amazon. We literally, it was trial and error. A lot of education. Before I did this, I ran my husband's roofing company. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely different than an international business. And so I educated myself. I had to learn a lot. They had just gotten out of school with degrees, so they had a little bit more current information than my ancient marketing degree. And, so I had to basically educate myself, and we did a lot of trial and error, but we've done very well.
And then so. Do you think, the reason of your success is that this product is just so needed, or is it your background in marketing?
No.
The team you put together?
It's needed. And because we keep it affordable and because we keep it that the people can buy it, everybody has such high deductibles. Doctors are so expensive. Testing is so expensive. Because we keep it affordable, people can test their whole families. And we, between the pets' lives and the humans' lives, we get emails every day about the lives that we've changed. It's really super cool.
Now, when you say affordable, what's the price range for an individual or a family?
For a deluxe test, which tests 750 items, is $154. Mm-hmm. And that includes vitamin deficiencies, metals and minerals, and food and environmentals.
That's for one person?
One person.
And then if there's a discount, I guess, for your family, or there's...
Yeah, we do have bulk packages. And then you can buy the individual test. If you think it's just a food item that's an issue, you can buy the individual food, metals and minerals. You can, we have it broken down that you can buy a, you know, at least a lesser package.
And then, how did you come up with the pricing?
Well, that was kind of just really not too much trial and error. We've kept it at the price, since pretty much the beginning. We haven't really had any price changes on it. Austin, you pretty much remember that more than me, probably.
Yeah, we set up the pricing just based upon understanding what our cost was and then what the average spending was of someone who did step into the doctor's office or did go to the veterinary. You know, we're trying to find a nice price point to where it was comfortable enough to where they could trust what it was that we were providing had some validity to it, but obviously inexpensive enough that they continued to, you know, say, hey, this is a nice price point that I can get information, I can educate myself on how to correct my health or my pet's health, and truly feel like their value is there.
Now, Austin Collins, what's your role in the business?
So I do all of our marketing. So I do handle most of our Amazon, you know, any of our online business sales. I really oversee a lot of our platforms that we sell on.
So now, had you done this before? Had you sold things on Amazon or online before?
No, this was truly an education process for me. I started this with Lisa and Ethan while I was still in college. So I was, you know, actually using my university down in Columbus State, or well, Columbus, Georgia, and using my business as my trial and error process. So I was actually learning, you know, about business while creating a business.
Now, what were some of the things you did early on? Like, what were some of the baby steps for the listener out there who has never done an online business? What are some of the do's and don'ts?
Yeah, so I would say the number one do is to actually find your target audience and really focus in on your niche. A lot of people want to generalize and tackle the entire market because they feel like they have so much value to provide. But you really have to figure out on who it is that you can help and where you can place yourself in service. To truly start helping one person, and then that one person is going to tell a friend or a family member. So truly focus on your niche first.
Now, when did you know that you were onto something?
I think we really figured out that we were onto something after we started changing the lives of the loved ones around us. You know, when you start looking at your friends and family and seeing them start to reduce these intolerance symptoms that they've been dealing with their entire life, and you start to see their day-to-day lives change, then you understand that there's potential to change other people's lives all around the world as well.
Now, the first time you put something on Amazon, did it sell right away? Like, were you like watching the kind of your results? Where's the sales?
Yeah,
like,
you know,
was it within minutes? Like, how long did it take for the first sale?
Well, for Blue Green Algae, actually, it took, I think, 5 or 6 minutes and we had our first sale. But for our food intolerance testing company, I want to say it took maybe only 1 or 2 days. And
yeah,
we started having hits immediately. So, you know, once when we started getting customers, I think the number one thing that we focused on was the customer service end of it, making sure that, you know, we were there to answer any questions. We were there to provide the support and the comfort that a lot of people lack in traditional, you know, medicine or veterinary attention.
Now, when they buy this, do they typically just buy it? They don't ask questions, or do they?
We have a lot. Austin's done a great job with educational items on Amazon, and we have really good ratings and everything on Amazon. But a lot of education. One thing we did do when we did start, I remember this now, is that we actually hired an Amazon expert to help us get our listings where we needed to get it at, because you can put anything on Amazon. Whether it's going to sell is going to be the difficult
right.
question.
But how do people even know it exists? There's like a gazillion items there.
Well, not too many of us. We're pretty unique because we use a hair analysis, and that's pretty unique. So back when we started a couple of years, we were really one of the first ones. We were instantly on the first page of Amazon.
But did people even know to search for hair as a way to test for allergies?
Well, so we actually we started this, you know, 3 years ago, right when gluten-free became this hot topic. And I don't want to say fad, but everybody wanted to become tested if they were gluten-free because a lot of people were finding success in those dietary changes. So we just attached to keywords such as gluten-free or dairy-free. And registered as a test that would be able to provide that type of testing at a, you know, affordable cost.
Right. And then is there research that says that your test is equal or similar to a blood test or a more traditional test?
So they're actually like comparing apples and oranges. You know, we test for different types of responses than what your traditional blood testing does. You know, your blood test detects true allergies, which only represents maybe 2% of all responses that you may have. And the other 98% are those everyday, you know, subtle responses that our body carries out because we expose it to a food item it doesn't agree with or an environmental item that it doesn't agree with.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more about the Blue Green Algae test or some of your other tests, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can check us out on 5strands.com.
The number 5?
Yep, the number 5. Or you can put in the word 5, but it's typically number 5strands.com. And we have all our products listed there with tons of informational sources. And we also have tons of videos on YouTube that goes into more detail about our products. And what the blessing is by having very young business partners, they're very social media savvy.
Quick response.
And so the beautiful part is that they have done a great job with our social media and gotten all those videos out there, and they look great on camera. So, you know, us old people, let them do their thing.
Well, stay with us. Congratulations on the momentum and keep up the good work, and we'll look forward to continuing to follow your success. But hang out with us a little bit. We're going to visit with a couple more guests, all right?
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us the owner of the Grand Poobah, where the buck stops, over at MyCBD Organics. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Giovanni Paul. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you.
You learn anything there? You need some help with your online stuff, or you got that figured out?
We could definitely always use some help.
So tell us about CBD. I know that's kind of the term du jour. There's a bunch of shops popping up, and it's kind of semi-controversial. People don't know what it is. Is it marijuana? Is it not marijuana? How does it all connect?
Well, first, CBD is basically a compound of the cannabis plant. It is not marijuana. So that's a lot of people do get that confused. And
so I'll pass the drug test if I'm taking CBD?
Well, that's subjective, right? So it depends. So it depends on who's testing, what they're testing for, and the levels of tests that they're testing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, CBD does contain a, small amounts, or you can even have product without THC. Mm-hmm. So it does have that. But before we go into that, I would say just to clear up what the difference is in CBD and marijuana, there's two different things. So similar to grape juice and wine, they both come from grapes and they both have health benefits. Marijuana and CBD come from the cannabis plant, mm-hmm. and they both have their own health benefits as well. But when you consume too much wine, you get drunk. But when you consume any amount of grape juice, you don't. So that's basically the analogy you can
That's a great analogy.
With.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Did you come up with that?
Yes.
that was brilliant. Yeah. Great job.
But, so CBD is the grape juice and marijuana would be the wine.
Now, historically, has CBD been something that people use for medicinal reasons?
Yes, but it's just recently become federally legal. Back in December 2018, President Trump signed a farm bill, which made it federally legal. But rewind 5 years before that, former President Obama signed into law where that he allowed 5 states to conduct research and harvest hemp. Mm-hmm. So as long as you purchased from those 5 states, it was considered legal. So that was the California, Colorado, Oregon, Kentucky, and I forget one other state. But prior to that, 16 years before that, FDA has already had a patent with CBD. So It's already out in the market. FDA has known about this for over 16 years.
Now, are other countries had CBD? Was that just a common thing in other countries and it just wasn't here yet?
Yes. Europe is so far ahead of us. China is light years ahead of us. They've been harvesting and consuming for over 20 years.
And Kentucky's been making medicinal substances for hundreds of years. I'm not surprised they jumped right on board with this thing.
So now, what is the health benefits?
Oh, the health benefits is countless. CBD is used for most commonly anxious, anxiety, arthritis, acne, anxious pets, humans as well. The benefits is countless. I can go all day. It's really the sole purpose of CBD is to maintain the balance in the body. Mm-hmm. So it's, everyone goes through something. Whether it's emotional, physical, or even mentally, everyone's going to go through something where they can benefit from CBD.
So now, is it a kind of a healthier way to deal with anxiety than some of these other more narcotic medicines?
Well, the one bonus I would say, or the benefit, the greatest benefit is that it's all plant-based. It's all organic grown, our products, and there is no side effects. So there is no pharmaceutical impacts that almost I don't think there's a drug out there without a side effect. Mm-hmm. So with CBD, you don't get that side effect impact.
And then how do I know what's the appropriate dosage for me in my situation?
And you won't know initially consuming. That's why if you would come to one of our locations. We have samples. We educate and inform. But the rule of thumb is to take small and low doses until you find your sweet spot and then increase incrementally.
And then once you find that, like what am I noticing different that's happening?
A number of things. First, you have to identify what your situation is. If it's anxiety, you'll start to see the trend of your anxiousness subsiding. If it's pain, you will start to see over time the inflammation will start to be relieved. If it's concentration, you'll see that, you'll be more able to focus and concentrate. But also just for that's more of maintenance. It's also a preventative solution as well. So many people come that's looking for CBD is currently going through a situation, but most people do not know that CBD is also preventative as well.
Now, how can I tell, like, if this CBD is the good stuff and this is just not somebody just threw CBD in something else? Like, how can you discern what is, the quality product?
Well, first, I would say definitely look for, if you are shopping, I would say the internet is not regulated. It's not, you don't know what you're getting. No offense, but Someone mm-hmm. can be selling it off Amazon in their backyard. You don't know who and what you're getting it from.
Right.
So knowing who you're getting it from, the ingredients is clear. One thing I would say is that our product, when you're purchasing from us, we ensure that it has a QR code, which you can scan, and it's attached to a COA, which is a certificate of analysis. So every product that we provide, basically comes with an independent, third party lab test that provides the potency and the purity of the product. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things. Also, do they have a customer service? Can you call someone? Can you walk into a location and be educated and be informed? And that's what we take pride in ourselves as to providing that.
Now, you said earlier off the air that you came from New Jersey.
Yes.
Are you here to put stores here? Like, what's the reason of coming to Atlanta?
Yes. So I help behind the scenes with strategic partnership and expanding on the affiliate. So currently right now we have 5 locations throughout Georgia, and we're basically expanding.
Are you a franchise?
Yes.
So you're the franchisor?
I am.
Or you work with them?
Yes, I work with them.
And then what made you do franchising as opposed to, just selling it to different shops?
Well, franchising allows us to basically inform everyone about CBD and the benefits that it provides, and mm-hmm. it quickly allows us to get it out to all the cities and towns throughout mm-hmm. Throughout the country.
So now you're looking for more franchisees?
Yes, we're looking for more franchisees. We also want to inform the public that, you know, you can find us at a somewhere near you in a neighborhood that you can come in and get that information.
Now, is it affiliated with any of these vape shops? Like, you see vape shops opening everywhere.
No, I would say if anything, we stand definitely apart from them. So when you come into our location, you'll walk, basically feel like you're in a spa. It's a warm, like, setting. Mm-hmm. It's an aroma. It has an aroma in there that triggers, certain, emotions in your body. But we have basically a built out that's more of an, it's inviting and it's an educational setting as well.
And then the only thing that's sold there is CBD?
Yes. Or, yes. That's all we do is specialize in CBD. Correct.
And then, so what does it take to become a franchisee?
You can go to our website. There's a short form, affiliate link. And if anyone who's interested can definitely sign up and, someone will get back to them.
And then do you have a profile of what a franchisee, like, is it some person that retired? Do they have another business that's complementary to this? What is the franchisee?
What are we getting? There isn't a set profile, but it's anyone who's passionate and is interested in wellness and wants to get the word out.
Do you partner with, like, gyms and massage places and fitness places, wellness?
Yes, we partner with a slew of practitioners as well as small gyms as well to do workshops, provide products as well.
Now, is the medical community open to this, or is this kind of?
Yes, it's a gray area for them because it's not FDA hasn't put their stamp of approval just yet, but. Yes, we work with oncologists, the chiropractors, mm-hmm. but they just can't put their name due to licensing.
And then if you were to just kind of want to explain one thing to people, what would it be to kind of make them feel more comfortable trying CBD?
Well, I would say definitely CBD has been around for years, and because it's plant-based, there are no known side effects. It's easier to try that than a pharmaceutical product that you know is going to give you side effects.
And then if you are going to try it, it's better to kind of meet the person that's selling it to you in person and build a relationship.
Correct.
To build that trust.
Correct. And we get that a lot where we get, elderly community walking in and saying, oh, I'm glad that I have this here mm-hmm. because it's intimidating walking in a vape shop. It's intimidating walking in a smoke shop or a gas station where most people are getting it. But if you would come to one of our locations, you'll feel warm and welcome.
And if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website?
Yes. www.mycbdorganics.com.
All right. Hey, stay with us, man. We're going to visit with a couple more guests.
All right.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us the owner of the Burgess Hotel, Mr. Burgess Jockey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, tell us about the Burgess Hotel. How are you serving folks?
The Burgess Hotel actually just got rebranded. We've been in that location for over 20 years. It was originally the Wynkid by Wyndham Hotel. And about 2 years ago, I came into an impasse as to what to do next.
You owned the Wyndham?
I owned the Wynkid, yes.
Right. Yeah. And then, so now you said, I'm going to rebrand?
So about 2 years ago, we started embarking on a journey of thinking about what we wanted to do to become next. And we gutted the entire hotel and rebranded it as a boutique hotel. And we named it the Burgess.
Now, is this your first boutique hotel?
Yes, it is.
But you've been in the hotel business for a minute or two.
For 20 years.
So now, what was it like to, you know, come up with your own flag to make this your own?
We're still under the Wyndham flag. It is a soft-branded flag under the trademark collection. And basically, it's a collection of boutique and historical hotels, which kind of fit our profile. We've been with them a long time, and it was... It was good to continue the relationship that we had created for the last 20 years and give us the opportunity to do pretty much whatever we wanted and how we wanted it and design as far as the style and how we wanted to proceed in service as well.
So now what was your vision?
My vision was to create a hotel that didn't seem like a hotel. We wanted it to be very residential. We wanted it to be very service-oriented. We wanted to create an environment that when you walked in, it was like you're walking into my home. There are pictures on the walls that were taken by my father-in-law. The paintings in the hotel were done by my daughter and some by my mother-in-law. And we just created an environment that was very welcoming and very warm.
Now, how is the hotel industry in general kind of coping with the Airbnb of the world? Is this kind of your way of kind of attacking that or at least acknowledging the influence of the Airbnbs?
No, I think Airbnb has been around for a while now, and I think the market has absorbed whatever that industry is. It's a different market. It's not really – it competes against with hotels. But I don't think it's a very small piece of, I would say, the hospitality market.
So, but the fact that you decided to make this into a home-like experience, that didn't influence that at all?
No, it was more stylistic in nature, comparing it to, you know, some of the bigger box brands and some of the luxury brands. We just wanted to be more intimate and luxurious, but not at a not pretentious or at a price point that's above, you know, most general hotels.
Now, what is kind of the temperature of the Atlanta hotel market? You've been in the market for a while now. So how has it evolved and what is it like today?
The hospitality market is and hotel market is cyclical. We kind of go with the cycle of the economy. We're very oriented towards what's happening in the city, whether it's conventions or sports events or anything of the sort. We have a steady market. We're in the heart of Buckhead, so we have a steady market of corporate clients. You know, Monday through Thursday, and during the weekends, there are varying events from, you know, concerts to sports events. So we get absorbed pretty much the entire week.
And then, so how do you kind of market yourself? Like, is it possible just to be there and then you get business just by existing, or do you have to do things proactively?
A little bit of both. The advantage is that we have been in the market for 20 years, so we have a long list of very loyal clientele. Locations important. We are in the Bar Harbor Buckhead, and we cross from Piedmont Center, which is 18 buildings and, you know, over 2 million square feet of office space. So that in itself lends to our business. But I think also you have to be high in the market as far as service and quality. And that usually is grown organically through, you know, different websites and different search engines.
Now, how important is it to have a good restaurant, a good bar in a hotel nowadays?
It is exceptionally important. To be a boutique hotel, to be food and beverage is extremely important. I was a chef prior to going to the hotel business, so the restaurant I wanted to create would have to be something that I would be very proud of and want to consistently go in to. So we created a restaurant that was local in nature. We wanted to be a neighborhood restaurant. First and foremost, because we're a 100-room hotel, and you have a certain clientele that would frequent the business, based on being in the hotel. But the idea was to have a nice neighborhood. I kind of always go back to the analogy of Cheers, where everybody knows my name.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to become the centerpiece of the restaurant is a wood-fired grill. Very difficult in nature to construct and install and expensive to run. But I felt that was a key focal point of the restaurant to create the food that would generate the flavors that I wanted, and wanted to partner with one of the top chefs that have been in the Atlanta market, and that's Daniel.
And that's Daniel?
That's Daniel.
Welcome.
Hello.
Lean in there, Daniel. You got to grab that mic, rockstar that mic.
Okay.
So now, had you worked in the restaurant? I'm sure you worked in the restaurant industry, but had you worked in a hotel in the restaurant industry?
Yes, sir.
Lean in there.
Okay.
So tell us about your vision of the restaurant and how you see it playing into the mission of the hotel.
Well, the kitchen he created is like a dream to work in. Everything's brand new. The grill is the main focus. There's going to be an awful lot of food coming off of that grill,
mm-hmm.
From appetizers to entrees, meats, seafood, poultry. And the cuisine of Mediterranean leads us a very broad. We're going to be from Morocco all the way over to the Middle East and then back up to the northern side of Europe and back to Portugal. So we have many flavors and areas to play with.
How did you come up with the Mediterranean as a choice of the cuisine?
We looked into the market and you could pigeonhole yourself pretty easily in certain cuisines. The wood-fired grill obviously can lend to many different cuisines.
Right.
But Mediterranean as a whole gives us many, many options from very different countries. We have a wonderful hummus on the menu and we have grilled octopus. So it's a lot of stuff that's fresh and available in the market. We partner with local and substantial, producers and we wanted to have something that is local in nature, but international in flavor.
Now, when you're coming up with the menu, how often are you changing it out? How many are items are the kind of the go-to signature dishes?
The two he just mentioned, the octopus and the hummus, have become signatures already. I believe they're the two leading appetizers.
We have a branzino that's off the grill too, and that's a whole fish, and that's a Mediterranean sea bass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also becoming a very hot item.
So now, with having a chef background, this was kind of at the heart of the hotel for you, or this was a key component? You want to get this right?
Correct. Yeah, it was a key component. It goes hand in hand. A lot of people will the restaurant attracts all 90% local markets, but the fact that you're coming into the Burgess, which lends itself to the bar. There's an interesting story about the bar. The bar is actually named Mr. B. And it's actually not for Burgess. It was a little play on words. The bar was named in honor of my father-in-law. His name was Keki Bunshaw, and he actually organized the first Indian expedition to Mount Everest. He climbed with Sir Edmund Hillary, Tenzing Norgay, a lot of the New Zealand and English climbers that they were the true pioneers. They first charted those routes to Everest. They built the bridges, laid the ropes, laid the ladders across the crevasses. In fact, Sir Edmund Hillary stayed at his home for like 3-4 months.
Wow.
Climbing different mountains.
So is that all as part of the bar? You get to kind of have some of those photographs and some of that imagery?
Yes, actually. And it was unfortunate, but he passed away a little over a year ago, and we found over 1,000 photographs and slides that he had taken.
And no one had seen them before?
We knew about them, but no one had seen them. Wow. They were like in a box buried down in the basement, and they were taken in the 1950s and 60s, but they were so, I would say, National Geographic quality. My daughter, who's the artist, who done most of the artwork in the hotel, painstakingly, cleaned them up and restored them. And we pretty much have all the photographs that, tell the different stories and everything from the Sherpas that climbed the mountains with them to Nepal and the different people that were there.
So that you go to the bar, you can kind of see all that?
Yes, it's all there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, for you, this must be very rewarding to kind of put this hotel together, this family affair like this. Can you talk about that, how you've involved your whole family and how it's kind of a vision of maybe your history, I guess, your legacy?
Yes. We've been around. We grew up in Hong Kong, so we have a lot of Asian influence. My father-in-law, who actually was an attorney, but in his younger days, climbed a lot of those mountains. My daughter, who was the artist, did a lot of the artwork. She lives in Chicago, and we even have two Chinese scroll paintings, which my mother-in-law did like 35 years ago, which were beautiful scroll paintings, and we had them restored by the High Museum. The paintings were in good shape, but the silk had started to degrade a little bit, so we had that restored. And we just brought different artifacts from our different travels. We have a very interesting centerpiece. It's called the five-fingered dragon. So it's a huge 5-foot dragon made out of mammoth bone that sits in the middle of the lobby. And that brings you good feng shui, good luck, good fortune, those types of things. A few months ago, we were traveling to Japan on my father's 90th birthday, and we stopped in a small port called Kagoshima, and there was a ceremony going on, and we saw this beautiful Japanese samurai warrior armor that you kind of, you see these in Shogun and some of these other movies, and it was beautiful. So I bought that, and that's another addition to the piece of the lobby.
Wow.
So just very eclectic, very different.
Right, but it seems to kind of speak to your family and your history and your legacy that you want to leave behind.
Yes, it does.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with it, this is a 100-room?
100-room hotel.
100-room hotel, so that's kind of small in that space, in that area, but it's the food's good, the bar's good.
The food is exceptional.
You don't have to be staying there to enjoy the...
No, absolutely not. We have a nice patio. The pool will be opening in the spring. So it's there are different areas where you can enjoy all different things. The bar is very quaint and intimate. The restaurant is the centerpiece. We have a nice patio that faces Piedmont, and we have a very cozy pool area.
And then the address, what are the cross streets?
The address is 3600 Piedmont Road Northeast, and that is at the right before the intersection of Piedmont and Habersham.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, and best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.